Well, permit me to add my own good morning to all of you, and especially if you're a visitor or a guest in our church this morning, you're always welcome here. We're delighted you're worshiping with us today. In a minute, we're going to be looking fairly intently at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. So if you'd find your Bible, the one underneath your seat, or the one that you brought, or the one on your phone, or wherever that Bible might be found. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And today we continue in the series on the I am statements of Jesus. The I am statements of Jesus. Today we are going to be talking about Jesus when he said, I am the door. Actually, there's two different translations of what that word is. The door was popularized by the King James Bible. Most modern translations will say, I am the gate. It doesn't make any real difference. Doors and gates have a similar function, so I will likely go back and forth. So if you hear, I am the door or I am the gate, it's the same teaching. We're in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and I'll begin reading there. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the door for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, as this text unfolds, Jesus had just done something that he did on a fairly regular basis. He had told the Pharisees, this group of Pharisees at least, that they were spiritually blind. That would be like going to a meeting of rocket scientists and announcing to all of them that you're really stupid. The Pharisees were deeply offended by this, deeply, deeply offended. When I sometimes read the accounts of Jesus and the Pharisees, I often want to say, Jesus, if you'd only had a public relations firm to help you just smooth out just a little bit how you talk to those people, because you were very, very direct. And it's good that he was direct and didn't have a public relations firm. And it does seem that Jesus and the Pharisees didn't get along too well. And that's right, they didn't. As he went into his teaching about the shepherd and the gate, the Pharisees, as usual, will not understand this. They won't understand it. They won't like it. If they did understand it. But he's making a big claim here. And not only did the Pharisees not understand it, they didn't want to understand it. So the key to understanding this passage, because it is sort of from an ancient culture in an ancient time and using an agricultural metaphor to describe the conditions, let's just go back and hear a little bit about shepherds and sheepfolds and how sheep are kept. A sheepfold is simply a pen or a corral for sheep. If so we understand this better, there's two different kinds of sheepfolds. First, there is a sheepfold that is a communal sheepfold. And most of the villages in the Middle East of that time had a communal sheepfold. The communal sheepfold was operated by all these independent shepherds who had their own small flocks of sheep. And they would have the sheep grazing during the day, but for the sake of protection, the shepherds would bring the sheep out of the grasslands and out of the hills and into this communal sheepfold where there was a high fence and there was a gate or a door that was in the on one side of the fence that the sheep, through which the sheep entered and through which the sheep would leave the next morning. There was also a guardian of the sheep. He was hired by the shepherds so they could have a night to get some rest. And he was there watching the sheep, but he also had a gate with a lock on it, and he alone kept the key. And so that's how sheep were sheltered when the most of the season of the year, through at least the colder months of the season. But in the warm season, the sheep didn't return to the village enclosure at all. Because of the extra daylight in the summer and the abundant grass, they would be gathered up by the shepherd, and he would have built a small sheep pen just out in the middle of the field, just a small rock wall, and it wouldn't have a gate or a door at all. But he would herd the sheep into that little small enclosure at night, and there was an opening. There was an opening there, not with a gate or not with a door, but the shepherd himself became the gate or the door, because at night he would lay across the opening, and he would know if the sheep were trying to escape, because they'd have to literally walk right over him. So this is the shepherd's sheepfold that is really being referred to in this particular passage. That small enclosure where the shepherd was, again, in a literal sense, the shepherd was the door, or he was the gate. Now, to the original Hebrew hearers of this story, there would have been an echo from a pretty obscure passage in Deuteronomy 28:6. The passage says, "You will be blessed when you come in and when you go out." You'll be blessed when you go in and when you come out. So the original hearers of this could imagine this shepherd lying across the pen, getting up when it was okay for the sheep to leave, and in a sense sort of blessing them, patting them on the rump and saying, "Go, there's some fresh grass out there, but come back. There's a loving relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. He cared about them very much. This saying in verse 9 would have been heard by Jewish ears as being the voice of a dutiful shepherd who provided a safe environment for the sheep, a place where they were secure and safe, and they would be protected from wolves and from thieves. This is the mental image of this passage. And I've just now told you all I know about sheep. That's it. And I had to read quite a bit to dig out that much. I remember being a kid growing up on a cattle ranch, and I was talking with my dad one time. We were out there in the fields doing something. And I said, "Dad, how come we just have cattle and we don't have any sheep?" And he gave me a fairly long explanation about how sheep eat. I don't know how he knew all this, but I just believed everything my dad said. And children, you should do that. You should believe everything your father says. So he says, sheep eat grass differently than cows. Cows just bite it off and eat it. Sheep pull it up by the roots. And so eventually that hurts the grass and there's less and less grass. So he says, we don't have sheep because of that. And he says, besides, sheep are stupid. And I thought to myself, I don't think our cattle are all that bright. But I wouldn't have said that in my dad's presence. He loved the cows. So here's the heart of the first part of this story. Jesus is saying he is the shepherd who will lay down his life for the sheep. And when you hear about the sheep, think us. This is a story using a metaphor that we are like sheep. He's also saying to these people who are listening to this, with a special word for the Pharisees, he said, Jesus said, I am the visible representation of the invisible God. The God you have always worshiped but never been able to see, you now see God in the flesh. I am the visible representation of the invisible God. I am the gateway to God. Those who embrace me will find life and will be offered protection and care. And then he says he's the entry point for all people into a relationship with this invisible God, or this God who until now had been invisible. As Paul says in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 18, for through him, Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Jesus is the access point to God. That's what he's saying here. He is the access point to God. Like a sheep has to go through the shepherd to get in or out of the pen, we have to go through Jesus to have access to God. Last week, Adam closed his message by referring to John 10:10, and he covered it very well, but it's such a critical verse, and it's familiar to a lot of us, but it's such a critically important verse where Jesus outlines the difference between the light and the darkness. When he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. There's so much to explore in that verse. Who's the thief? Is it the Pharisees? No, not primarily. Jesus has in mind all the religious leaders, people we've never heard of or never read about, but all the religious leaders who had come to the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, who had come to them over the years and proclaimed that they were either the Messiah or the one to show them the Messiah, but who had false intentions. Their goal was the accumulation of wealth for themselves, the respect of the citizenry. Their goals were perhaps in some cases mixed, but most of them were just mixed up. And the thief, this is who Jesus is referring to. It's those folks. So it's bigger than that, but it's smaller too. Jesus has in mind not only those religious leaders who came before him for the sake of money and power and control, but he also had in mind, of course, the prince of the thieves, Satan himself, the devil, the evil one. And Jesus is referring to this master of evil, Satan himself, who desires, it's his mission in his existence, to take people away from God by the false promises he makes in contrast to the truth that God speaks. Think of it this way. Both Jesus and the thief have a job to do. And if they had business cards to tell you their mission, they would be described in John 10:10. That's really all we need to know. So this week I asked Billy, whom you just saw, who's our creative artist of all kinds of ability. Let's look at the business card of Satan. There it is. Billy put that together for me. I don't think the devil needed a business card, but if he needed one, Billy could have produced it, okay? Satan, his mission, his job, his work is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the first part of John 10:10. And then if you looked at Jesus' business card, you'd see a vastly different response. Jesus of Nazareth, he comes to give you life abundantly. It's this dramatic contrast that Jesus is painting in John 10:10. He comes to give us life abundantly. In his classic book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis used his own wonderful imagination to write the instructions to one of his little lieutenants called Screwtape, who was an agent of the devil, who was also working with a junior devil named Wormwood. And in this message, Screwtape is telling Wormwood how to draw people away from God. So in one of Screwtape's messages to his junior messenger, the mentor tells the mentee the following: "There is nothing like suspense and anxiety for barricading a human's mind against the enemy. The enemy, of course, here is God. He wants men to be concerned with what they will do. Our business is to keep them thinking about what will happen to them. Our business is to keep people from thinking about, it is to keep people thinking about what will happen to them." Maybe that's you. Maybe you're a person who spends an inordinate amount of your time worrying about what's going to happen to you, or to the country, or to the government, or to the world, or to something. Your mind is fixed on what's going to happen to somebody, perhaps especially you. Well, worry, fear, and anxiety are pretty common things. And as a person who has had my own battles with worry, fear, and anxiety in my life, I can sympathize with those of you for whom that's a regular part of your existence. It's not fun, and it's often not easy to fix. But the passages that we've studied this morning show us a way forward to a life with a constant helper by our side. And that's why the second part of John 10:10 is connected to all this talk about sheep. "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Now, what's the abundant life? I can't tell you exactly what the abundant life means for you. I can tell you that the abundant life is possible for us because we had a shepherd who literally laid down his life for the sake of his sheep. He literally died for the sake of his sheep. He didn't just lie down at the gateway to the pen, to the enclosure for the sheep. He ultimately laid down his life. But for a moment, just for a moment, to push this a little further, I'd like you to just, for a moment, I don't want you to linger here, but picture a dark season of your life. Picture a season when life was especially hard, or when an illness found your way into your life that was a very unwelcome guest, or your work has gone bad, or even when your work has gone away. Maybe think of those times and try to remember back, and you may be in one even now, but try to remember back to what some of your mental reflections were about the cause of that condition. Maybe you said to yourself, "It's because I've sinned. I've sinned, and this has come to me as judgment, and it's my fault," which is the last thing someone needs who's feeling badly, is to then pile on the blame. Or you say to yourself, "Therefore, God's angry with me. If we'd only prayed more, if I'd only prayed more, this tough calamity wouldn't have happened to me." Whatever the situation or the perceived cause, for a lot of reasons, we can't seem to move forward. Life is like a dark, gray day that never goes away. I have another mental image for you that I want you to picture in coming days, or in this moment as you think about those days in your life. Picture this: you're a sheep. Maybe that doesn't sound very complimentary, but the sheep in this story are you and me. This is an analogy between sheep and people. And God's a whole lot more concerned with people than he is with sheep. You're in a pen with a bunch of other sheep. So far, again, this doesn't seem helpful. Hang in there with me. But the good news is that you can leave this sheepfold whenever you need to or want to. You can go out and find pasture. The shepherd is still watching out for you. You can go out as long as it's safe, and he's looking out for your best interests. Every morning you can go out and find the freshest grass, coated with the morning dew. And you can munch on that and you can enjoy that, and this is a part of your abundant life. If you should spot a predator, then you can cry out, and the shepherd who is always alert and always awake will come to your aid. When you go back to your sheepfold, your shepherd is still there. He will take you there if you need to. And he will personally take his position at the entrance of the sheepfold to watch over you while you sleep. You live in a zone of protection and care that none of us can fully imagine or fully appreciate. By the way, this shepherd doesn't sleep. He's not like someone who's been hired to do the job, and then he clocks out at the end of the shift, and then he just goes away. He's there all the time. This is his life, is protecting for us, providing security for us, for our well-being. This is his calling. This is what he's saying in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. I am this good shepherd, and I am the door, and I am the gate. Nothing can come through that gate that doesn't pass my understanding and attention. The shepherd has one major goal for you. He wants you to experience life to the full. You belong to the shepherd. He knows your name and the names of those that you love, and all of them are precious to you, are also precious to him. The shepherd wants you to experience life to the full. I wish I could have a definition for each one of you singly about what life to the full would mean. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. When you hear about the abundant life, it's not just about, and maybe it's not primarily about, I know it's not primarily about material possessions or wealth. Those can be very good things, but that's not what he's talking about here. He wants you to have an abundant life, a life lived in freedom and with protection. He wants you to go in and out of the enclosures of your life, knowing that you're protected by God, that you're watched by God, that you're cared for by God. He wants you to know that he knows your name. And every time he comes, you come through the pen again, it's a greeting of warmth and welcome and love. That's what God's talking about in this passage. Whatever it includes an abiding relationship of joy and trust. So think of that door, that gate. The keeper of that gate never slumbers nor sleeps. He is your forever friend. He's the giver of the abundant life. There is the thief. There is one whose intentions for you are entirely different. He's the one we're supposed to keep ourselves away from. But don't obsess about him. The one at the entrance of your life, the one at the entrance of the gate, the one at the door, he's got that under control, as long as you are under his control. He is the great I am. He's all that and more. We've talked about the great I am being the bread of life who offers the gift of his own life for you. He's the light of the world that shines into the dark corners of your life, providing hope and opportunities. And he's the one at the gate, feeding you, showing you the way, watching over you night and day. That door is secure because the shepherd's great love for you, that door is secure. And you can cast every single one of your cares on the shepherd because he cares for you. Would you pray with me? Oh God, you speak to us through images in Scripture. And the image, the wonderful image of this is really something to behold. We might not like being described as sheep, but we're like sheep. We've sometimes gone astray. You, the loving shepherd, call us back home, and you watch for us and you care for us You're the door to eternal life. You opened the way to God Himself. The invisible God became the visible God in Jesus, and we are the beneficiaries of that. So for this rich and powerful text, we give you thanks. Help us to believe it and live into it through Christ, the door, we pray. Amen.